WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest Ellen DeGeneres made history when she played the first openly gay leading character in a TV series. When the character Ellen Morgan came out in the fourth season of the sitcom Ellen, DeGeneres came out too. That year, 1997, the show won a Peabody Award, but the ratings went down after Ellen came out, and the show was canceled the following year. Last fall, DeGeneres returned to TV with a CBS sitcom called The Ellen Show, about a gay woman who returns to her small hometown after her dot-com company goes broke. DeGeneres doesn't expect the series to return next fall, and if it doesn't, she expects to host a new talk variety show that will premiere in the fall of 2003. Ellen DeGeneres first became known as a stand-up comic. She's about to begin a national tour of her new stand-up act. 2 years ago, she did a comedy tour that was taped for HBO. Although she was out, most of her act had nothing to do with sexual orientation, but she did have something to say about it.
Very interesting. We have this huge debate going on right now about same-sex marriage. There are people who are against it. There are people who are for it. And the people who are against it, some people say, marriage is a union between a man and a woman, and it's always been that way, and it should always remain that way. If we change it and it's between two people of the same sex, then what's next? Someone could marry an animal. That's where they go to right away. These people scare me, and they think we're weird. Marry a goat. I really don't. I can't imagine marrying a goat. I can't even imagine dating a goat. Getting to the point that you're that serious to make that kind of commitment. That clear you'd live together for a little while to figure it out and see if you're compatible, but I would think that would be a tough day, even for the most liberal parents, the day you bring the goat home. Yes. Mom? Dad? This is Billy? We are in love.
Ellen DeGeneres, welcome back to Fresh Air. How does it feel to be doing stand-up again?
It's a mixture for me. I mean, I love it when I'm on stage, but this part right now, before I start, I'm driving myself crazy because I have found everything in the world to do other than sit down and write. I bought a car. I landscaped my backyard. Every drawer in the house is organized. I hate sitting down and writing, so I'm kind of down to the wire, and I'm still really nervous. But then once I'm on stage, I'm fine.
Right. Now, here's something I used to wonder about. When you were doing stand-up before you came out, I wondered if there was material that you would have included in your performances, but that you didn't include because you weren't out. So it was the kind of observation you couldn't really talk about. So this is a double question. I'm wondering if that was the case then and if you're including more of that type of observation now.
No, nothing's changed. And I think that was my huge concern when I did this last tour, the beginning, 2 years ago for my HBO special. I thought I'm probably going to have, just about an entire audience of homosexuals instead of what I used to have, which was a lot of homosexuals, but it was a mix. It was a lot of everybody, because my humor was always just basic. It wasn't even female humor necessarily. It was just observations and weird stories. And there was nothing that I thought, oh, if I was only out, I could talk about, how girls are together. Or I just never, was going to do that anyway, and I still don't do it. None of my humor has changed. And I mean, I think anybody who saw the beginning, there's really nothing that's, except for being honest about the fact that I'm gay, nothing really has changed as far as what I find funny.
Do you feel in a way pulled in two different directions at once? On the one hand, being like, gay role model, and on the other hand, not wanting to make a big deal about it?
Yeah, I'm not a political person, I'm not an activist, and I kind of got sucked into that role just, by being honest about, my sexuality. I didn't do it for any other reason other than I got tired of, in interviews, having to dodge around that question. And It wasn't something that I felt like hiding anymore or feeling ashamed of. And I really didn't even think I was ashamed of it, but I thought, well, how can I not be ashamed of it? If I can't, you know, just come out and say it, there's got to be some shame attached to it. So, yeah, it's really hard. And I don't think that I'm a gay role model either. I think that I'm a gay person, and there are a lot of different types of gay people. I mean, there are a lot of different, you know, types. I don't know who the straight role model would be. You know, I think that everybody's different, and I certainly don't represent every gay person. I just represent me, and if other people feel that. But I think visibility is important. I think representation is important for everyone, and it's got nothing to do with sexuality. It's just someone else to relate to. And so I think it's important, but I certainly don't think I'm a role model.
When you got your first TV show, did the writers, did the producers, did the network executives know that you were gay?
Yeah, everybody knew. When I was offered, I was doing a show called Laurie Hill for Neil Marlins, who created my first show, Ellen. I was joking with him. I said, if this show doesn't go, will you create a show for me? And because I had like, you know, two lines in it every show. I had nothing. I was, you know, I mean, I think one show I said hello. And he said that he would. And sure enough, the show got canceled. And he called me and he said, we want to create a show for you. And I couldn't believe he was, you know, really doing it. And I said, you know, I just want to let you know, because you may change your mind and you may not want to take a chance on this, but I'm gay. And he kind of laughed and he said, yeah, we know you're gay. And he said, do you want to be gay on the show? And I said, no, I don't want to be gay on the show. And he said, okay. But he said, we know you're gay. And then the show was developed, and then the tabloids immediately started printing things about me being in bars and me doing this and that. And it was, and none of it was true. And I had been really, I usually don't go out anyway. I occasionally go out, but I'm pretty much a boring, stay-at-home person. But I went to the, you know, president of ABC, and I said, the stuff in the tabloids isn't true, and I don't go to bars, and I don't. And he said, you know, we don't care about that stuff. And, you know, it was all new to me, so I thought he was going to fire me immediately because I was seen in a gay bar.
So how did you decide that you wanted, you know, you wanted to come out at the same time that your character did, that would happen simultaneously?
Well, I thought it'd be really embarrassing if my character came out and I didn't. I thought that would be really tough. Why did you have to go and do that? Now I've got to come out. I don't know. I was just going to do it for me. And then I thought, you know, what's the big deal if I do it? And the show is kind of floundering and struggling to find its identity. And I just, it seemed like the character was gay anyway, because I never dated on the show. And it was always just, you know, this, every other show, any single woman, the whole show is about finding the right guy. And I just thought it would be interesting. And we just thought we'd do it at the same time. And I think we found some really interesting, you know, areas and areas that nobody had ever gone into on television. I'm really proud of that last season. I thought it was great.
What were the script writing sessions like for the coming out episode, in which, you know, you and the writers tried to figure out, I assume you were in on those sessions, tried to figure out what the right storyline would be?
Yeah, it's all kind of a blur to me. I used to write every single night. Once we got the go-ahead, we really didn't have much time because Disney didn't let us know until the last minute. They knew all season long because we were trying to build up slowly and do clues, and we really didn't want it to leak out. We just thought we would have the audience watching from the beginning of the season, and these little clues would happen, and they would be like, are they doing what I think they're doing? We that's what we wanted to happen, and then it just be the episode where I came out. But unfortunately, it leaked out, and then we still didn't have the go-ahead from Disney, even after it leaked out. I wrote a lot by myself at night at home, and then I think we had one script that went in, and then it wasn't right, and then we got together and all did it again, and it was fantastic. And then we all won an Emmy for it. It was very exciting.
Can you give me an idea of a script line that you threw out that you thought, this isn't right, this isn't the way to do it?
I don't know. We just we kind of came up with the right storyline with the ex-boyfriend coming in town and this guy that I was just crazy about and seeing him again, and that would be the tip-off that it just something was missing. But because and we wanted to make it where the character really was completely in denial. You know, she just didn't know she was gay until she met someone else who was gay, and it threatened her even more. And but I really don't remember the first. It's 5 years ago. Actually, 5 years ago this month.
And then there was the question of how to handle the first kiss.
Yeah,
which was part of the script line.
But that wasn't on the coming out episode.
Was that later?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we couldn't kiss. No, that... I mean, the coming out episode was just basically me saying, you know, that I was gay. But the first kiss was the next season, and it was a huge, huge thing. I mean, it was a problem, you know, and there was a advisory label and, you know, all that.
What did the advisory label say?
I don't know. It was shocking to me because I didn't know. I was just at home watching the show one night, and all of a sudden, you know, it was almost like there was some kind of nuclear war happening. It was just, you know, caution, the contents of this show, or, you know, it was just like this. The first time it happened, it was because we were holding hands. We held hands. And because I was looking for what it was. I mean, there are these shows like on Right Before Me and Right After Me where people that aren't married are having sex, and there's a, you know, sexual, you know, connotation to every single thing out of everyone's mouth. And, you know, that's okay. It's okay for, you know, people with kids to watch, you know, people having sex, and no matter how old you are and everything being, but you can't hold hands. That was just so shocking to me.
My guest is Ellen DeGeneres. She's about to begin a national tour of her new comedy act. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Ellen DeGeneres is my guest, and she's about to start a national tour of her show, Ellen DeGeneres in Concert. You really went from one extreme to the other when you came out, because you'd been in the closet. And then when you came out, not only you came out, but your character, Ellen, came out. And you were on the cover of Time magazine. And to top it off, you were having a very public relationship with Anne Heche at this time. What was it like to go from one extreme to the other almost overnight?
It was weird. I mean, my life is just, you know, I really went from, I was just thrilled that I had a career. I mean, it started as a stand-up and worked, you know, from playing little places that held 150 people. And, you know, there were really just about 50 people in there, and or 40 weren't conscious because they were drunk. It was just, I mean, I really went through working my way up to get to a place where I actually got a television show. And I was so thrilled that I had a television show, and I was so thrilled that I had made it so far from New Orleans to be, you know, have a successful television show, that, you know, it just, you know, to come out was just kind of a thing that I just felt like I had to do. I really didn't realize what that would do to my career, to my my life, you know. It just, and like you said, you know, it was a very public time for me. And I think that, you know, if I could play my life as It's a Wonderful Life, and if I hadn't gotten involved and hadn't been in a relationship, I think it would be very, very different. I don't think it would have been so public. I think I just would have done the show, and I would have kept doing the show. And but I think that was a you know, a really wild time for me. I want to be really careful about this too, because I want to say that as I talk about this, I haven't talked about it, and I want to be careful how I word it, because I want to say I take full responsibility for being a participant. But at the same time, as I have perspective on it, I was in a very vulnerable place, coming from a very fearful place, and I met a very fearless person who enjoys attention. and I was influenced, and I was like, you know, being told, what are you, crazy? You're going to be on the cover of Time magazine, and yet you're worried about, you know, going to a premiere and doing this and doing that. And I was like, yeah, you're right. You're right. And I just, you know, it's, and again, I take responsibility, but I think that my life was so huge and so public, and I was doing things because I felt like there was only the other extreme. You know, I wasn't paying attention to my gut feeling, which is, okay, I did this, and now let's just be quiet about it, and that's all I wanted to do. Because really, that was what my gut was.
So you think, but you both had basically different temperaments regarding the public nature of a relationship?
Absolutely. And I, you know, I mean, My relationship is obviously very different now. I have a very quiet relationship, and it will remain that way. And, you know, so I think that it all exploded at once. It was a big thing for me to come out. It was a big thing for the character to come out. It was a big thing for someone who, you know, had never, you know, who was, it was two, you know, famous people that, you know, it was and the world hadn't seen that. And it was a big thing when we showed up at a premiere or did anything. It was always, always, we lived out our life, you know, publicly. And as a result, I made a lot of very public mistakes. And I think now I've learned to follow my own instinct and not get influenced or be persuaded by other people and just trust myself.
I mean, one of the real paradoxes is that the person who was leaning more toward the public part of the relationship and to, you know, big public statements and everything was somebody who had been straight up until that point.
Yeah. Well, and I think that, and that's the thing, if I would have met the person I'm with now or you know, any gay person would know the consequences because we live our lives understanding the consequences all the time. Even if you're out, you know that there's a certain, you know, line to draw. And I think most straight people know that too. But, you know, this person did not and didn't care about rules or lines or anything. And so, you know, that's, you know, I don't know. It's all a kind of hard subject to talk about.
But no, I understand that, yeah.
But it's my life, and it's also a lot of, you know, I'm very proud of what I did, and I'm very proud of everything that came out of it as far as helping everyone. But there are a lot of things that I realize I turned a lot of people off, and I pay for that every day, and I'm, you know, just trying to get my life back to normal, my career back to normal. And so there's part of me that wants to talk about it just to explain and to say, you know, I understand that I rub people the wrong way. I understand that it was a lot of it seemed very in your face.
What's an example of something that you wish you hadn't done that wasn't, that you feel in retrospect wasn't really you?
It's hard to pick out one specific thing, but I think that it's just the fact that I got so upset by the networks shying away or advertisers pulling or everything, and I took it personally, and I think that was hard for me, and I got upset with the press because I couldn't turn on the television without being, you know, the punchline of somebody's joke, or it was constant in magazines. I was a joke, or the relationship was a joke, and it all was too much for me. It really sent me into a downward spiral of after I lost the show, especially because that was my entire life. I had been doing that show for 5 years, and I loved doing that show, and suddenly I lost it. And it's really hard when you're used to going to work every single day and, as a performer, used to that release, that outlet, and suddenly it's just shut off from you. And not only is it shut off, there's nobody else knocking on the door. And not only that, but every time you even open a magazine or think about turning on, you know, I mean, I was even scared to open House and Garden or Architectural Digest. I was like, am I going to be in here? I mean, it got to a point. I really thought, you know, I can't escape it, you know? I mean, I the weirdest things would happen to me. Like, you know, I'd be stopped at a red light and this cop was next to me one day and said, hey, how you doing? And I said, okay. And he goes, I just saw, where did I see you? Some magazine. I said, I don't know. And he goes, yeah, some magazine. And I'm just like, please don't say anything. And it's like I'm waiting for the light to turn green. And all of a sudden he goes, anyway, they were making fun of your shirt. Have a nice day. And just pulls away. And I just thought, this is just cruel now. It's just plain cruel. He just thought that was, anyway, they were making fun of your shirt. Have a nice day. I was like, the light couldn't have turned green just 30 seconds earlier. He had to get that out. But it really was just, you know, a hard, hard time for me. And I just, you know, I just thought, you know, I just got hurt and angry and everything. And so...
Was there a period where you felt it's over, that period is over?
No, I felt like I kind of... I thought, okay, it had been, I guess, a year or so, and I just, that's when I started writing the special, the beginning, when I just thought, this is ridiculous. Okay, I'm not getting offered any jobs. Nobody's calling, but I'm a writer. That's how I got here. I'm funny, and I'm a writer. I'm not funny right now because I'm extremely depressed, but something is still inside of me, and I can take control of this. And I thought, I need to write another stand-up special. I need to remind people of who I am and why I'm here. And I didn't just get lucky, and then I came out to make, you know, and that was hurtful too. The people thought I was coming out to get attention or to, you know, for ratings. It's like, you know, look at all the people lined up, you know, that were doing it before me and after me. That because it's such a great thing for your career. So I just thought I'll write a special, and then I was just thinking, well, what if no straight people ever like me again? I'm just going to be like, you know, this gay icon, and I'm not going to write gay material. Then the gay people are going to come see me and go, that's not gay material. She's not being gay enough. So I just thought, I'm just going to write a special, and hopefully once it airs, people will see that I'm the same person. It's, you know, all I ever wanted to do was, you know, be a funny person.
Ellen DeGeneres is about to begin a national tour of her new stand-up comedy act. She'll be back in the second half of the show. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross, back with Ellen DeGeneres. She's about to begin a national tour of her new stand-up comedy act. In 1997, during the fourth season of her ABC sitcom Ellen, DeGeneres came out, and her character Ellen Morgan did too. DeGeneres made the cover of Time magazine. After you came out, your mother, Betty, became a gay rights activist. Was it really surprising to see her in that role? She looks like such a mild-mannered person, and she's been very effective in the role of a gay activist, as you know, as the mother of a lesbian telling other parents. Did this seem very out of character for her to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't even know who that person was. She... After she was on, you know, I did the interview with Diane Sawyer on Primetime, and my mother was on it. And after it aired, my mother said, you know, everybody is really responding to me. I'm thinking about getting a commercial agent. So I'm going to get headshots, and I'm going to do commercials. And I said, Mom, you really want to sell grape nuts? Is that what you want to do? I think that they're responding to you because of you, that you weren't playing a character and you weren't, you know, but she just wanted to do something, and she's, you know, and I said, why don't you do something that's actually going to make a difference? You know, that's what's going to feel good, is if you actually do something that you're helping. And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, just call like the HRC, ask somebody if you can help. I'm sure if you say that, you know, I'm Ellen's mom and I'd like to do something, they're going to give you a job.
The HRC is Human Rights Campaign, which is a gay rights group.
Yes. And so she called Elizabeth Birch over there and said, I'm Ellen's mom and I want to help. And they were like, hold on. You know, they just they couldn't even believe. So they started having her travel around, and she goes and speaks. You know, she's out there and helping a lot of people, which is so great because there are a lot of, you know, families that need some help.
How did you come out to her?
I just told her that, you know, I met some. We were always really close, and I always felt like I could tell her anything. And I told her that I was gay, and that which it was a shock to her because I had had so many boyfriends all through high school, and you know, I was just boy crazy, and she just didn't understand it. She thought it was a phase, and she was fine. She was a little shocked, but she wasn't angry, and she didn't, you know, freak out or anything. And because there were no books, and she didn't understand what to do with it, she went to the library and got some books and started trying to read about homosexuality and try to figure it out. Which is great that she's written books now to help people, because there should be books to help parents when they find that out. But she was great.
Were you surprised that she was great, or did you expect her to be great?
I expected her to be great. My mom's, you know, I mean, she and I have been through a lot together, and when my mom and dad divorced, it was just my brother left. He was in a band, and they went touring, and it was just my mom and I went from the time I was 13 on, and it's how I started doing comedy, because she went through a really hard time and dated some guys that were just some horrible, horrible men that treated her really badly, and she'd be crying sometimes, and I'd just start doing things to make her laugh, and she'd start laughing, and then I'd imitate her laughing, and then she would she would start laughing so hard she was crying, and then I would be laughing and crying with her. And I saw the power as a 13-year-old kid to take care of my mother, to change her mood, to make her happy when she was so unhappy. It was an amazing feeling, and I think that's the beginning of when I realized that I wanted to do that, because I could change people's moods and feelings. And I saw, you know, and I moved, you know, every 2 years we went, I went to a different school, so I had to start over everywhere. So I used humor to fit in everywhere I went. So,
In your stand-up act before you came out, you used to do a story that was based on a real story in your life, and it was the story of someone who you described, I think, as your roommate who died in a car crash, someone who you clearly cared really deeply about. You know, and in this set of stand-up comedy was this very moving, emotional moment. I assume that person was probably a lover, not just a roommate. Assuming that's true, was it ever difficult back then to tell that story and invest all this emotional weight in it, not be able to really tell why you were so emotional?
No, I did. It was actually, I wrote The Phone Call to God. Her name was Kat. She was my girlfriend, and we were living together at the time, and she was killed in a car accident. And it was, I was 20 years old, and it was my first realization that, you know, how precious life is. I think it was a beautiful gift, actually, to me, that I was able to learn that early on, to appreciate every single moment of life. Because you're never the same after you lose somebody that you love, and especially at that age, it just doesn't seem possible. And I actually saw the accident, and I didn't know it was her. I slowed down, and I could hear the sirens behind me, so they were just getting there, and I just kept going, and I didn't realize it was her until the next morning. And so I wrote this piece called The Phone Call to God, mm-hmm. because I went home and, you know, just was obviously depressed and trying to figure things out. And there were fleas all over this place that I was staying in. And I just thought, why are fleas here? Here's this beautiful, amazing 21-year-old girl just gone, and fleas are here. And what if we could just pick up the phone and call up God and ask God these things? And I just started writing. I'd never written comedy before. And I put, you know, the pen to the paper, and I wrote out what it would be like. I imagined that you'd have to, you know, hold the phone to your ear for a long time before God answers, because it's a huge place, so it would ring forever. And then I imagined finally saying, you know, yeah, hi, God. Sure, I'll hold on. Realizing God's very busy, and then be put on hold and listen to Onward Christian Soldiers, because that would be the hold music. And then say it's Ellen DeGeneres, and then, you know, God would make fun of my name. Sounds like degenerate. And then it would be this whole long thing about what it would be like to talk to God. And I finished writing. It just poured out of me. And I looked at it, and I thought, I'm going to do that on the Johnny Carson show. And I'm going to be the first woman ever to be called over to sit down on the first set, because no woman had ever been called over on the first time to sit down. That was the big thing for Johnny Carson, the motion to come sit down. And I was. I was the first and only woman in the history of the show to be called over because of The Phone Call to God. I did it. I think.
But that's the thing that's bizarre, because here you are talking about your lover.
Yeah.
And yet being totally closeted, but people like love what it is that you're saying about.
Sure. And it's, well, and it was a funny thing. They actually didn't know. When I was doing it on stage, I didn't say, I actually just said, I don't understand why certain things are here. You know, but it was, I think by that time, because it was like 7 years later that I did The Tonight Show or something like that. Yeah, I mean, it was hard also, because I didn't really get to grieve or acknowledge how devastating that was for mm-hmm, me, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. Because now, you know, I mean, somebody loses their husband or their wife, and everybody's just, they know how hard it is. But when you lose your girlfriend, especially at 20 years old, it's just, oh, she's your friend, and that's a shame your friend died, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Ellen DeGeneres, I really appreciate you talking with us. I'm hoping that you'll be back on TV sometime soon with something or another.
Yeah. Well, I still haven't gotten the official word that they're not picking us up for next season. I assume we're not. But if I don't get picked up for CBS, there's something else very exciting I have as a backup that I can announce as soon as I find out. But we still don't know anything for sure.
Well, that's great. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so very much.
You too. Thanks.
Ellen DeGeneres is about to begin a national tour of her stand-up comedy show. This is Fresh Air.